Heavenly Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for this great opportunity. Thank you for your message. Thank you for everyone that's under the sound of my voice as you speak through me. I ask you, Lord, to reduce self, move me out of the way so your word can penetrate the hearts and minds of each person in this room and on the airwaves. Let their faith grow so strong and their confidence in you. Give them a sense of love and belonging. Let them have a desire to impact the lives of people that come in their sphere of influence. We love you so much for it. In Christ's name we pray, amen. Amen. All right. The only thing that counts is faith expressing itself through love. Everybody said faith.
Faith.
Faith. Expressing itself through love. All right, now, that's important. So David wrote something years ago, 1,000 years ago, and he wrote, he says, I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor their seed begging bread. He said, I've never in my lifetime, remember he's the king, he said, in my lifetime, and he was a little shepherd boy at one time, and he said, I've never in my lifetime seen the righteous forsaken, nor their seed begging bread. So, and it's important that we hold on to that. There's a situation that's going on in the country now where the government is shut down. And so the buzz in the air is what's going to happen November 1st with the EBT and the SNAP program and what's going to happen. And so are they going to give the benefits to the people or not give the benefits, right? So I've gotten several phone calls from different people and says we got to put some things in place, right, to try to accommodate the people that's going to be lacking and the pain that's going to come across community when people don't have food. I'm telling you, David said, I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor their seed begging bread, right? And so it's important to understand these are times now where you talk about your faith, but you got to really, really have it, right? Now, and I just want to share this on the airways, the people and people in the audience, that your reliance should never, ever be on the government, never. You're never, ever rely on the government. You always put your faith in God. Now, the government may be an instrument or a tool that God may use to be a blessing to you, right? But my faith is always in God, not in the system, right? And keep that, that's important. And so when my faith is in God, and then I connect with God through me, so my walk with God and my talk with God and my meditation with God and my devotion to God is so rock solid that it does not. I don't worry about what's going to happen because he told us in Matthew, don't worry. He said, don't worry. He said, those things is just a byproduct of the kingdom. He said, I'm going to take care of you. You have to know that. You have to believe that. All right? Believe that with all your heart, people. Everybody say, with all your heart. And I know it's very challenging because a lot of times our faith is not where it should be. So when we see things or we hear things and we hear conspiracy theories and we hear those things, it really kind of shakes us. But I'm telling you, when you have your faith and your confidence in God, don't ever be shaken. Raise your hand if you're warm. If you're warm in here, raise your hand. All right. Get these people a little bit of air somewhere, Spud. Just turn on the air conditioner or something because I don't want the people to die. It was a lot of hands went up. But some of the people so cold, I'm different. See, I'm anemic. So I'm not cold, right? So if they good. They say they good. If they good, for those, give them a fan then. We roll. Let's roll with it. All right. I don't want nobody uncomfortable because I want you comfortable when you hear this message. Right? Amen. All right. Faith expressing itself through love. Now, it's important to understand faith is trusting God. Right? My faith is in God, is not in people, is in God. Now, God works through people, and he rests in the hearts and minds of people. Don't mess with us, but they say they don't want it. So thank you very much. Now, here's the thing. It's important. Our faith is in God. Everybody say, our faith is in God. So we have to trust him with all of our hearts, right? And that's important for us to understand what faith is and what it's all about. And do we really, really believe that God is who he say he is, right? And then if he is who he say he is, then I don't need to worry about those things. Those things are going to happen, right? Things are going to be taken care of. You just have to trust the process. Trust the process, right? Now, the freedom we have is in Christ. Now, listen, freedom is in the Holy Spirit Remember, in the beginning, it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, right? And the Word became flesh. So the Christ in Jesus is the power of the Holy Spirit operating in his life, right? So now, understand something. When God is operating in you, realize that he's in you, and he said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you, right? So you have to always look inward, all right? Always look inward and understand who you are, right? And whose you are and who you're working for, right? And remember, all your benefits and everything come from the person, right, that downloaded himself in you, right? So when the Spirit of God downloaded himself in all of us, I was telling my wife the other day, people said, well, you know, that person don't have the Holy Spirit, or that person don't have. I says, if a person is doing something wrong and they repent, Missy, if they repent, what caused them to repent? Right? So that, it had to be the guy in them. So God had to cause them to repent. So our first thing, the reason why he said repent, we need to turn from any way or any form, anything that's causing us to walk contrary to God, we need to turn from it. And we need to say, God, I'm sorry. Now, you know, nobody else know, but you know. Everybody say, I know. I know me. I don't know anybody else. I know me. So if you in a situation or something's going on in your life and you know you're not in alignment with God, this is the time where you repent and you turn and you tell God, I made a mistake. I'm going down the wrong highway, right? And so now I want to get back on the right highway. So I'm going to repent and then I'm going to turn. So the first thing, everything is repent. So if we're walking contrary, let's repent first, right? And then we watch the power of God really operate. Everything in your life operates based on faith, right? Now, that's why they said, do you believe? If you believe it, right? If you believe it. Now, if you don't believe it, right, it won't happen because you don't believe it. So that's why everything's an inside job. So I don't care what anybody tell you. It's what you think. Whatsoever man, so is. So now, if I know who I am in God and I'm operating God and I know God is operating inside of me, I don't care what you say, I know where he is with me. Right? Now, you can tell me anything, but you don't get to tell me about the God that's inside of me. Right? So I know God is operating inside of me. Now, I may not be doing everything you think I ought to be doing, but that don't mean God is absent in my life. Right? And if we always honest with ourselves, all of us got some shortcomings in our life, right? But we got to understand there's a freedom in Christ, right? And so Paul, as he's writing to the church at Galatians and all that, he's dealing with these Judaizers that's coming in telling people that you got to get circumcised or you have to follow the law, right? You have to follow the law. And Paul says, listen, it's not about following the law. It's about believing that the Christ is inside of you. So what Paul is telling him, said, listen, it's not about the law, because the law was given, listen to me, the law was given to show me my shortcoming, right? It wasn't there given to give me power, right? So that I didn't feel guilty. There was no sin until the law was introduced, right? So and so he's trying to tell them that as people was coming in and saying that you need to do this in order to be saved. You need to quit doing this in order to be saved. He said, no, you got to have faith and you have to believe that Jesus Christ really resides in you. And then he saves you. And that's important. So as I walk down through that. Now, in Romans chapter 7, and I'm going to try to get through this thing and be out here at 12:30 for sure, because it's going to take all that today. Right? So Romans chapter 7, here's what Paul says. This is what he's writing. He said, I have discovered this principle of life. That when I want to do what is right, what happens? I'm always doing what's wrong, right? He says, I love God's law with all my heart. But whenever I desire to do good, evil is always present. That's what the King James Version said. Evil is always present. So he said, there's a warring going on in my members. There's something going on the inside of all of us. There's a battle with our sin nature and our spirit, right? So then he goes on and says this in verse 23 and 24. He says, but there is another power within me that is at war with my mind. Right? This power makes me a slave to the sin that still is where? Within me. He said, now, This power, whatever it is making me a slave to my sin nature. Right? So my sin nature is a problem. Now, understand the law, and then you'll understand the freedom in Christ. And the power of accepting Jesus Christ into your life, the Christ, the Holy Spirit. Everybody say, accepting the Holy Spirit into my life. That's important because the Holy Spirit is the thing that's going to guide you and is going to turn you, is going to transform you, right? Now, he says this here, but there's another power within me other than the Holy Spirit, right, that is at war with my mind. This power makes me a slave, right, to my sin nature. Now, then he says in verse 24, oh, what miserable person I am. Who will free me from this life that is dominated by sin and death, right? So the wages of sin is what? Death. But the gift of God is eternal life. Now, let me kind of break this down so it makes sense to you, right? So before the law was given, there was no sin, right? There's never a sin when there's no law. That's why Paul said, once I thought that when I got the law, that the law was holy. And he said, and it is. He said, but once I figured out the law, he said, then I died because of the law, right? So what he was saying was, as I was doing good, I was moving along until God introduced the law to me. And he was showing me what the law was. And then when I saw the law, he said, I felt guilty, my sin nature, right? So he says, when it said, do not commit adultery, right? My sin nature made me want to commit adultery. Right? He said, so the sin came because of the law. Well, there's no law, there's no sin. Right? Now, here's the freedom in Christ. And you got to understand this law thing. Right? So when you understand that your sin nature, right, is not your flesh. Your sin nature has a desire to do contrary to God. So there's a battle inside of you, right? And your nature wants to do this. So whenever your mama say don't, then the kid want to sneak and try to do it, right? And so you want to try to see, is it really happening? Can I really do it? So should I really step across this line? But the law said don't do it. But my sin nature said do it. And then because of the sin, once I do it, I die. All right? I feel guilty. And so the thing that supposed to give me life, which was the law, it really brought death. Because when the law was given, the Ten Commandments supposed to make me feel pretty good, but it really killed me, right? And what it did, it made me feel so guilty. But that's why Paul was saying, but when Jesus Christ came and you believed in Jesus, understand that he gave you the power to overcome your sin nature. Now, this is important because I think you guys will miss it if you don't pay close attention to it, right? So then verse 25, it says, thank God. Everybody say, thank God. The answer is in Jesus Christ, our Lord. Now, the answer is in the Holy Spirit. Everybody say the answer? Is in the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit is the thing, that's the Christ in Jesus. That's the thing, man, that changes the way you think, changes the way you behave, right? Changes the way you move and the way you talk. So he said, thank God for it. He said, because when I knew the law, I had no power to stop it. But the thing that stopped it is the way I think. The thing that changed the way I think is the thing that changed my heart. The thing that changed my heart is the Holy Spirit. Once I accepted Christ and the Holy Spirit in my life, it changed the way I saw things, right? And now watch this. So now the law, right, he said, I died to the law. So when Jesus died, I died, right? Whenever somebody dies, that's why you talk about this marriage thing. Whenever a woman is married to a man, this is the scripture, all right, and her husband is alive, and this is not a marriage seminar, I'm just giving you scripture, and her husband is alive, if she marry another man, she commits adultery. Well, he commits adultery as long as that man is alive. But once the person die, then you're free. Everybody say free. So now, what he's trying to explain to us is about the sin nature. He said, your sin nature has power over you as long as you're alive. But once you die to it, it no longer has power over you because what? You're dead. But when he rose from the dead, he became life. And he rose as a what? New creature. Now my sin nature no longer has power over me anymore. So the things I used to do, I don't do anymore. But what caused me not to do it? It's the Christ that's in me. It's the Holy Spirit in me that changed my mind and changed my behavior and changed my talk and changed my walk. So if I'm doing the thing that I'm supposed to be doing and I know it's the right thing to do, right, then I've overcome my sin nature. And my sin nature has no power over me. So he tells us to be careful because it can resurrect itself, right? And then the sin nature comes in and it wants to do things that's contrary to the scripture. Now, it's always going to be there trying to win the battle. So Paul said, there's a war and I'm always fighting. Whenever I desire to do good, evil is always present, right? Now, this is important for us to understand this because when we get into Galatians, it's going to make sense to you because you got to understand who you are. Because when you accepted Jesus Christ into your life and you allowed the Holy Spirit to come into your life, most of you guys, when it happened, it changed. Some of you guys quit drinking, you quit smoking, you quit whoremongering, you quit lying, you quit cheating. What stopped it? It wasn't the law. The law just gave it to you and told you, hey, I know it's wrong for me to steal. That's all the law did, but it didn't give you no power, right? The thing that gave you power was the Spirit, right? So now, so you got this Spirit. So God is working with you. Now, this is important, so don't miss it, right? So let's get into Galatians so you understand the power and why he's talking about the sin nature and about the law and circumcision. Because they were telling them, you got to do this. If you don't understand the law, it won't make sense to you. But people that's really been involved in church for a long time, you understand they're talking about the law. So we have this thing in the church. You can't wear dresses. You can't do this here. You shouldn't wear makeup. You can't do this here. They was giving you all these different laws. In the event, now watch this here. In the event that you did those things, it was considered sin, right? It was sin because they had given you a law. And once they've given you a law and they say this was the sin, this was the law, if you break it, then you sin, right? If there's no law, there is no what? Sin. If you sin, the wages of sin is what? Death. Anytime you do something that you think is not right, it kind of breaks your relationship with God. You start to feel guilty, right? That's why whenever you commit a sin, death follows, right? But death don't have no power over you as long as you don't what? Sin. As long as you don't let your sin nature control you, right? It's important to understand your sin nature. So Paul is writing to the church of Galatians, and he's writing to them because you had a group of people coming in, telling them that they had to live a certain kind of way, and you had to be circumcised. Because God had given the law to Moses, says, every person, male, that's in your household, a slave or not, he had to be circumcised if he's going to be in a covenant agreement with me, right? So here come Paul and Jesus Christ, right? And when Paul was teaching about Jesus Christ, he said all the freedom to live and not feel guilty about all this here is having a relationship with Jesus. He said, I'm not guilty about nothing. He said, none of this stuff make me feel guilty anymore because I'm in Christ. If I say, how does it stop? Because when you have Christ in your life, those things that you used to do, you don't do no more. Now, here's the thing. It ain't necessary that you don't have desire to do them, but you have the power of the Holy Spirit in you to help you not do them anymore. Right? And when you don't do them, there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ. So when I'm operating in the power of the Holy Spirit, I'm never condemned. I'm only condemned when I step outside of it, and then I violate the law. Right? So I can be saved, sanctified, Holy Ghost filled, but in the event that I allow my sin nature to take control of me and then I do something I know or I thought was wrong, right, then I start to die. All right? I start to feel condemned. How many people ever felt condemned about something? Don't tell me what it was, right? Now, the reason why you felt condemned because you feel like you violated a law, right? So Paul is telling the children of Israel, listen, don't let people come in here and tell you about how you're supposed to live. Understand loving people and caring for people is what it's all about. The thing is about Jesus Christ coming to your life to help change the community as a whole. So then he writes in Galatians, he says, so Christ has truly set us free. What you mean? He said, now make sure that you stay what? Free. Everybody says stay free. And don't get tied up again into slavery of the law. So don't get caught back up into all this stuff thinking you got to do this. I can't eat this. I can't drink this. I can't wear this. I can't do this here. Because those things have nothing to do with salvation. So he's telling you that. He says, don't get caught up in it, right? But people come along and they start diluting your mind. Then all of a sudden, people who's on fire for God, right? If you don't watch it, you end up doing some of the things you used to do. What he's saying is you go back and take the law back up again, right? And you start doing things, and now you start to feel guilty and all this kind of stuff. Well, he's telling us that, listen, Christ has freed you. The Holy Spirit has come into your life and changed you as a person, right? So then he says this. For when we place our faith in Christ Jesus, right, there is no benefit, right, in being circumcised or being what? Uncircumcised. There's no benefit once we put our faith in Christ. There's no benefit whether you get circumcised or not. It has nothing to do with you following the law. Everything's, watch this here. What is important, everybody say, what is important, is faith expressing itself in love, right? That's what's important. Don't get caught up in all this other stuff. Right? Because love is God. And when you see people and you move according to God's plan, and when I see you, I see the God in you. What comes from the heart will touch the heart. Right? My mindset changes, right, once I accept Christ into my life. Once Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit, a portion, gets in my life, he changes the way I walk and talk and the way I move. Right? And my faith is so strong. This is important. My faith becomes so strong that I don't care what happened. No weapon ever formed against me will ever prosper. Whatever has happened is working together for my good. Right? Because my faith is in God. Now, when I see you, this is important. Don't miss this here. When I see you, I also see God in you. So I'm not so busy, man, trying to judge everything you do. I'm trying to find all the faults in your life. And what's happening is people, what the Judaizers was doing, they were going around like some of us trying to figure out, are she saved? They can't be saved because they're doing this here. They can't be saved. They spend more time trying to divide than unify. So all we do, we spend all this time trying to find the fault in other people. Right? That's how we spend all this time. That's why he says, what's important is faith. Expressing itself, what? In love, right? Now, but if I'm trying to figure out, oh, that person right there, I know they a crook. They need to get saved. They need to get delivered. I'm so busy trying to find a fault in other people. We kill the kingdom. We just kill it. It's dead in the water. Because now, listen, none of us have the power to change anybody else's behavior. Only God does. But here's what we do, Martha. What comes from the heart, we'll touch the heart, right? Once I know you love me, you care for me, then I can influence you, right? Because I know you care about me, right? But if you're so busy talking about me and running people down and coming to church, and you walk in the building and all you're doing is trying to find a fault in other people, I'm not coming here, man, to help build a kingdom, right? I want to see who's who, right? And we spend time talking about other people and telling people what they can and cannot do. Jesus freed us from that. So he came to give us life. Now watch this here. This is important. My sin nature have a desire to do everything contrary to God. And today you're going to find out, are you operating in your sin nature? Or have you really embraced God today? Because we're in a time now, if you're not serious about God, with the stuff that's coming down, it's going to wrap you up, tangle you up and tie you up, and you're going to be in a mess. You're going to be taking all kind of pills and all kind of stuff, man, for anxiety and stress because you can't take it. You worry about this here, and you're going to be worried about this here because your faith is in the government and in people. And if they don't do right, I feel like, what? I can't make it. And they're just taking all my benefits away. Right? Remember, people make decisions. Right? Everybody said people. Make decisions. Now, here we go. I got you. Here we go. Brace yourself. Put your seatbelt on because we're about to ride. Right? You are running the race so well. Who has held you back from following the truth? Some of you guys were so faithful and so loyal to God, you wouldn't miss prayer. You wouldn't miss a Bible study. You wouldn't miss church. You didn't care what. The question is, who hindered you? Who made you not do your devotions? Who caused you not to spend time in prayer anymore? Right? Who told you, man, I ain't got to come to Bible study? No, I don't need Bible study. I can study at home. Because he said, forsake not to assemble yourself together. He said, who told you? Who hindered you? Right? Now, remember this here. Because something hindered you from your devotion to God. Because in the beginning, you were so on fire for God. Oh, I love the Lord with all my, I love him with all my heart, all my mind, all my soul. He's everything to me. Then all of a sudden, something happened, and then I pulled back. What caused you to pull back? I think it's a warning in our members. Whenever I desire to do good, even how many of us say, you know what, God, I'm going to change now. I'm going to start praying every week, every day. I'm going to start coming to Bible. I'm going to do all these things. And all of a sudden, something tell you, no, you ain't got to go today. Well, I don't need this. I can study at home. I can just read my devotion, right? So the thing, now, I'm not telling you have to come. I'm saying what you used to do when you was on fire. And what caused you to go opposite. Because what happens is the enemy will come in and drop little droplets in your heart and tell you, man, you don't need the church. That's just an organization. You don't need all that. But I'm telling you, that was the thing, man, that pulled you out of the hole you was in. When your back was against the wall, you didn't know which way to go, you turned to God, and you were so devoted that you gave your life to God, and you ran, and you was running well. I want to know who hindered you. What spirit came in and deceived you? Well, you say, I ain't hot no more, I'm just lukewarm. Right? So now, instead of me being a blessing to other people in their life, I find myself always talking about people. I find myself looking at the faults in people instead of trying to embrace people. My faith is not really expressing itself in love. I find myself doing stuff because the media and the world has downloaded stuff in our system and made it normal for us. Right? When they want to change something, they make it normal. They keep putting it in front of you and putting it in front of you, and it becomes normal to you, and it doesn't faze you anymore. So sin don't even bother you anymore. So you hear about somebody doing something wrong, you say, hey, I might well try. Right? But that's everybody says a spirit. It ain't nobody. It's not a person. It's a spirit. Remember, it's not a person. You can't put your finger on that person. You can't say, my boyfriend did this here, or my girlfriend made me do this here, my best friend. You got to know that there's a spirit, and it comes from within. Something went on the inside of me and caused me to shift back and pull back and say, I don't need all that. I don't need the commitment. I can do this here. But in your home, when you look in the mirror and there's nobody but you, the God in you tells you something ain't right. So it's the God in you, not Pastor Durin, it's the God in you that's talking to you, right? And the enemy's telling you, but you don't need to do all that, right? But if you be honest with yourself, I'm talking to some of you guys who are really deep. And you know, I want you to be honest with yourself. Do you really spend time in your word every day? Do you really spend time in prayer for real? Other than when you're in trouble and you really get deep in, oh, Lord. Right? When trouble really hits, right? When November come, you're going to find some people, man, who did not have a relationship with God, they're going to get serious about God. Right? And you're going to need God to really step in and intervene. But remember, man, God is working through Trump and everybody else. I trust the God in him. Because God said, I raised him up and I set him down. Right? And you have to understand that. So my faith is in God, not in nobody else. Right? Now listen, so I can wrap this thing up. Here's what he says. You were running well. Right? Then he said in verse 8, it certainly isn't God, for he is the one who called you to freedom. Sarita, who was the one? It wasn't God that called you to say, I'm not going to study today. I'm not going to get back in my devotion. I'm not going to spend time in prayer. It wasn't God. It wasn't the God in you, because he's not out there in the sky anywhere. He's inside of you. And he tells every single one of you all, you know the right thing to do. Every one of us, he let us know, but we got a battle going on inside. Right? We got a battle going on inside because God is telling me the right thing to do, but I'm so egotistical, and it's about me, and it's not about God. It's really not about the God in me. It's about my sin nature, what pleases me. And then here's what he says. For you have been called to live in freedom, my brothers and sisters, but don't use your freedom to satisfy your sinful nature. Instead, use your freedom to serve one another in love. Use your freedom in Christ to serve one another. Let's get back to it. It's getting back to, man, do I love my brother and my sister? Do I really, really care about them? Right? Listen, I know they may not be right, and I know they may be doing anything else, but my job is to serve them and love them and let them see the God in me, because the God in you can flip them. The God in you can flip them. So you have to understand that. Verse 14 says, for the whole law can be summed up in this one command. Love your neighbor as yourself. Love your neighbor as yourself. Verse 15. But if you, hear me well, Maggie. But if you are always biting and devouring one another, watch out. Beware of destroying one another. If we're so busy trying to find out the flaws, instead of us worshiping God and praising God and doing the kingdom work, my whole life is spent, man, talking about other people, finding the flaws in other people, trying to eat. Well, you need to live that. I don't understand why she's wearing that. She got all the chest out. I don't know why he walking around here with. All I'm doing is spending all my time trying to find the fault in somebody else. Right? Now listen, when I point at you, I got three fingers pointing back at me. Every time you talk about somebody else, man, you're really talking about yourself. Whenever you run somebody else down, you're really running yourself down. You're really talking about you. You really see yourself in somebody else. Because you have to ask yourself a question, man. Why is it what they do, man, bother me so much? Did I quit focusing on living for me and I'm so busy trying to find the fault in them? Right? Because faith expresses itself through love. If I really have faith in God and I really love the Lord with all my heart, then how I treat you and how I move with you and how I interact with you matters. It matters. It matters. And I don't need money. I just need to be righteous. We had a testimony the other day. Our men was having breakfast, and we was eating at Fox at that 10 o'clock service. I mean, at 10 o'clock a.m. Thing with the men, the favor and flavor. And all everybody was talking about, man, how God was blessing them and how God stepped in and did this here and how God blessed somebody over here and how I was doing this here and God blessed me here and how God opened up this door over here. And all we were sitting there talking, and all we heard was how God was opening up a door over here, how God was doing this here and how God was blessed and God did this for me. And it's almost like, what? Every time someone else gives a testimony, God, boom, he flip it again and somebody else tells something else God did. And what I saw, I was sitting there, I was listening, I said, man, God, you blessing all of us, right? And you blessing us through other people. Because all of our testimony was about what somebody else had did for us. Amen. Right? And so, do you have a testimony? Or do somebody else have a testimony of what you did for them? What testimony do your wife have about you? What testimony do your husband have about you? What testimony do your boss have about you? What testimony do your kids have about you? What are they saying about you? Do they see the God in you? Or are you walking around with your nose in the air? thinking you're more than that. So you walk around, I don't need all this. But I'm telling you, we do. Right? Now, so living by the Holy Spirit's power, right? Now, I got a few minutes. Galatians 5, 16, 17. So I say, let the Holy Spirit guide your lives. Then you won't be doing what your sinful nature. Everybody say your sinful nature. It craves for something contrary to God. It's craving for it. Right? It's craving. Verse 17. The sinful nature wants to do evil, which is just the opposite of what the Spirit wants. And the Spirit gives us desires that are opposite of what the sinful nature desires. These two forces, everybody forces, are constantly fighting each other so that you are not free to carry out your good condition. And here we go. But the Holy Spirit, everybody say the Holy Spirit. No, let me go back. I'll skip one. Look at verse 19. Read it. Stop. Everybody said the results? Is very clear. Crystal clear. This ain't got nothing to do with Pastor Durin. Derek, ain't got nothing to do with Pastor Durin. Right? Here's what it says. What it say? Sexual immorality. Listen, I didn't say it. Everybody said, Pastor Durin didn't say it. Now, you want to watch your sin nature. Here's what you know if your sin nature is in control, right? Number one, man, that's sexual immorality. I can't help it, right? Sexual immorality, right? Impurity, lustful pleasures, right? Idolatry, sorcery, hostilities. Always fighting. You always want to argue. You got to fight everything. You always got something to say. You're combative. You're jealous of everybody else. Instead of you being excited about what God is doing for you, I'm so jealous of what God is doing in your life. Because you have nothing to do with how God blessed somebody else. So why are you jealous? That's because you're in your sin nature. Right? And then he says, God, you outburst of anger. You're angry, you cussing and you fussing and you hollering, yelling at your kids. You're so angry. You're in your sin nature. You're not operating in your spirit. Right? Your sin nature is in control of your life. When you see yourself and be honest with yourself, and when you read those scriptures and you see yourself, don't nobody have to tell you anything. You already know where you are. You got to, everybody say, I got to clean this up. I have to clean because I want to be a better person. Right? If I don't, man, my sin nature causes death. Because my sin nature works against God. Envy, drunkenness. We don't talk about your wild parties. Right? All these things is happening in our life. Right? Don't raise your hand. If you got these things going on in your life, if any one of them is going on in your life, you got to clean that up. You can't dress it up. You can't put no lipstick on it. You can't comb your hair. You can't brush it up. You got to clean that up. Every one of those is an inside job. It all starts with the way your heart thinks and how you move, right? Now, this is important. So then he says this here. But the Holy Spirit, right, produces this kind of fruit in our lives. Now, raise your hand if you're saved. Right now. Raise your hand if you got the Holy Spirit operating in your life. Yeah, right. Now, if the Holy Spirit is operating in your life, and I'm telling you he is or she is, I think he's operating inside of your life. I believe it with all my heart. I don't care what nobody else say. They can talk about me on social media till they're blue in the face. I believe the Holy Spirit is operating in our life. Right? Now, here's the thing. It says, but the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, and faithfulness. Right? Gentleness and self-control. There is no law against these things. Right? If those things are operating in your life, the Holy Spirit produces those things in your life. The question is, can we find those things operating in your life? Can your kids see it? Or are you one way at church and another way at home? Can your boss see it? Can your neighbor see it? Well, what are you really expressing? Well, you don't take all that. I want to know what's going on inside of you, because we're going to leave here in about 3 or 4 more minutes. Then the question is, right, what force is more dominant in my life? Is it my sin nature or is it the power of the Holy Spirit? Because there's a warning in my members. Whenever I desire to do good, evil is always present. So I got the Holy Spirit over here and I got my sin nature. Now watch this here. When Jesus died, I died. So when you die, whatever it is, if I owe you some money, Margaret, if I owe you some money and I die, you can go ask Ardina for it, but she don't have to give it to you because I'm dead. Right? Now, once I'm dead, I made a fool and paid my mom a bill one time. That was stupid. Right? Because they came back and took my money, right? But if a person is dead, you can't collect nothing. Raise your hand if you know that. Now, if I'm dead, then my sin nature no longer has power over me anymore. But if those things are operating in my life, then my sin nature is alive in me. And I have not died to it, because it doesn't die. But once you die, that's why he said Jesus don't have to die no more. Once he died and he was resurrected, every one of us, when we are resurrected, we resurrect as a new creature. Now when I come alive, Ken, where I used to be a whoremonger, a thief, a liar, and all that, when I died to my sin nature and I came alive, some people said, man, Stu Man used to be this way. He used to be that way. I used to be that way, but that person is dead. Now, you got people out there trying to resurrect it, but they can't resurrect. That's them. What they're doing is trying to resurrect what's in their life. Because they can't raise up the old Stu Man in my life. Because that person is what? Dead. And I'm a new creature. Old things that pass away and all things become what? New. Everybody says it's a new thing. He said, those who belong to Christ Jesus have nailed the passions and desires of their sinful nature to the cross and crucified them there. Now, all those things that we talk about your sin nature, you got to get that thing under control because all of them are self-destructive. The reason I'm sharing this here, I'm talking about this here, let me finish it up and then it'll be done in about 4 minutes, right? By 12:30, I'm going to shut it down. I don't care where I'm at. Verse 25. Since we are living by the Spirit, let us follow the Spirit's leading in every part of our life. Remember to say, the kingdom agenda is a visible demonstration of the comprehensive God ruling in every area of our life. Everybody say every area. When nobody's watching you, are you operating in the kingdom with the kingdom principles? In every area of my life, Missy, you know, I can't lie to you because I can get advantage. I can't be doing something and then lie about it because I can take advantage of you. Because the kingdom agenda is the visible demonstration of God in every area of my life. Everybody say every area. Every single area of your life. Right now, once God has got full control of me, no weapon formed against me should ever prosper. Hear me out. Right? So he says, let us not become conceited or provoke one another or be jealous of one another. Why am I jealous of you, Ed? I might be jealous of you because what God has for you is for you. And what God has for me is for me, right? I'm going to celebrate you for who you are, right? And then I'm going to be appreciative of what God has done for me in my life, right? And then we wrap it up with this. Then God said, let us make human beings in our image to be like us. And they will reign over the fish in the sea, the birds in the sky, the livestock, all the wild animals on the earth, and all the smart animals that scurry along the ground. So God wanted us, he created us men to have dominion and to represent him in every area of our lives. People, I want you, listen, it's going to get thick. Things are going to get tough, right? Listen to me. It's going to get tough. Some of you guys are going to get laid off on your job. Some of you guys are going to get some benefits cut, right? Some things are going to get tight. Your gas bill is going to go up. Your light bill is going to go up. Things are going to happen. Stay the course. Hold your horses. Because remember, God is a spirit. And spirit works through people. Right? So what I have to do is continue to walk in righteousness and operate in the fruits of the spirit. When people get uptight and bent out of shape, you know what they do? They get into their sin nature. They start drinking. They start doing crazy stuff, try to satisfy. Because I'm upset, let me drink something. If you're addicted to gambling, you start gambling. If you're a sex addict, man, you start having sex. You think you can sex your way out of it. You can't. Because when you get done, now think about it. Anybody that's ever did any of that stuff and you get all bent out of shape, Sarita, and you do it, and you feel so guilty after you do it. You say, I got to do this. I'm so stressed out, man. Let me just take, I got to hit this joint. And as soon as I feel so guilty because I just sinned in my spirit. And so now death comes into play. So now I feel worse than I did if I had never done it. So the enemy makes you think you can go back and do those things and you end up in a worse shape. Right? And because it's an inside job, man, can't nobody fix it but you. So I got to come to grips with me. And I got to, if God is in me, right, no weapon formed against me, so I don't care what is going on, whatever's happening. My daughter ran over the curb the other day. I hope she listens to me on social media. She don't let me tell no business, if I got to tell, right? So she was driving, and she hit the curb, Alex. And she hit the curb, and both of her tires blew out. So she, anybody know Nessa? She called me, Daddy, Daddy. I said, Nessa, calm down, take a deep breath. Right? Now, and she was all worked up. I said, Nessa, why are you worked up? God got this here. You know, we're going to Atlanta. We said, I'm going to pay for the food. I said, I'm going to pay for it. But yeah, I got to get my hat down. I said, but you good? Right? The enemy was just working, right? I said, Nessa, just calm down. So she took the car to Discount Tire. She had bought the tire. They said, oh, you have a warranty. Here's the saved, sanctified Pentecost. Won't he do it? Now won't he do it? Won't he do it? God is good. I was telling her, I said, the enemy want to get you all worked up and bent out of shape and all stressed out. And she said, well, I ain't going to do this overtime. I'm not even going to work tomorrow. I said, girl, do your overtime. Because what the enemy wants you to do is fold it, Fox. He wants you to fold it. They talking about you. He don't know what he's doing, and he ain't this here. You just walk in righteousness, son. I don't care what they do. You walk in righteousness, I don't care what they do. Stay the course. You walk in righteousness and watch God work through people. I'm so scared for the Chauncey Billups and all those guys, the NBA. They arrest these guys for a gambling ring. First thing I got scared. I said, ooh, wee. I said, and all the people who were doing stuff wrong, you thought didn't nobody know. Now all of a sudden, man, they got a RICO. You got guys making millions of dollars, man. You walking out with handcuffs on you. That's why we have to live right, because now you good when you was winning in the poker game. Now, all the money you make, they finna take every single dime you got in attorney fees. All you won, you're about to lose. All you lost, you already lost. That's why you walk in righteousness. And then you ain't got to look over your shoulder. If I do what's right, you might get sick, but you'll be all right. All right? So remember this here, and we're done. Everybody stand to your feet. Y'all thought I was playing when I said I'd be done at 12:30. Stand to your feet. Everybody said faith. Express in love. That's the only thing that matters. Right? Look at your brother, look at your sister, and realize that God is operating in them. whatever they're going through, whatever they're dealing with, you be the one that represent God to them. And who hindered you that you stopped running hard? Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you for the power of the Holy Spirit. Thank you for allowing the Holy Spirit to reside in our life. Lord, we ask you to continue to give us the faith, the confidence, and assurance to know that no weapon ever formed against us will prosper. Whatever the enemy's doing, whatever's happening, we got our focus and our confidence in you. So, Lord, everything is just a person away. All someone has to do is make a decision. So we're going to move knowing that you got the people that's going to make the decisions. And whatever they do and whatever's happening, because we trust in you and we live in our life according to you, we know it's all working together for our good. So, Lord, we trust in you. We believe in you. And I'm asking you, Lord, for those who do not have a relationship with you, Lord, open up their hearts. Let them know they got to be more committed and more dedicated to you. You're only asking for a small amount of their time. Consider all the time that you're blessing them with. Give them a heart and desire to be committed to you. We love you so much. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As we leave this place, Lord, put your arms of protection around us. Guide our hearts, guide our minds, give us traveling mercy. For those who like prayer, please come forward so we can pray for you. If you want to be a part of the church, please come forward as well. We do?
No.
Oh.
Love you. Thanks for the word, man.